Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 10. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. This is the text. As we've seen in recent weeks, the appointed readings for this time of year, this jump around quite a bit. This week we get dropped back into the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has already been with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus and the disciples are walking along their road on their way to Jerusalem. Mark records that they were amazed and afraid. Why? Well, Jesus has just finished telling the crowd that if you wish to have treasure in heaven, then sell all that you have and give to the poor and come, follow me. And Peter says, see, we've left everything and followed you. And Jesus tells him the one thing that you will assuredly receive for following me and following the gospel is persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And they were amazed and afraid. And then Jesus tells them something which would cause even more fear. Jesus says, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. Now, they've heard this before. In fact, this is the third time Mark records that Jesus had spoken plainly to the 12 about what is to come. Remember a couple weeks ago when Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ, and Jesus told him not to tell anyone about him until they actually understood who the Christ was. And then he begins to teach them that the Christ must suffer, be rejected by all the Jewish leaders, be killed, and after 3 days rise from the dead. And he says this to them plainly, and Peter takes Jesus aside and demonstrates exactly why Jesus will not allow him to talk to others about who the Christ is, because Peter has no idea. Peter rebukes Jesus. This must never be, Lord. Peter can confess Jesus at this point in his ministry to be the Christ, but he has no idea what that means. He has no idea why Jesus came. So Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. We all know this story. But the world hasn't changed. I mean, how many in our world today are convinced, oh, they know in their mind, you know, that you know, who God is, or hey, me and God, we're together on this one. It's like, but in reality, they have no idea who the Christ truly is, or why he has come, or how he has covered the guilt of our sin in his shed blood on the cross. I mean, that's what matters. It's the only thing that matters. It's the crucified and risen Lord, the Son of God, who came to do this. Now, in the grand scheme of things, none of us truly know who God is because he is incomprehensible. Who has known the mind of the Lord, Scripture says. You cannot fully understand he who stretches beyond the borders of the universe. Think about that one. But he has revealed himself to you in his word. We cannot fully know him But we can fully confess him. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we do as the people of God. We come in humility, standing before an incomprehensible Father who has given us life, and we confess. This is the context in which we find ourselves traveling along with Jesus and the disciples. We listen to his words, and we confess our faith in those words. The disciples just don't get it, and they won't get it. They won't understand who Jesus is or why he has come until after the resurrection. Now, this time when Jesus tells his disciples about his coming suffering and death, at least it isn't Peter who says something foolish. Peter gets a break this week. No one dares rebuke Jesus this time. They learned their lesson the hard way. But James and John have a question for him. It's funny, in the other gospel accounts, we hear how it was actually James and John's mother who does the asking, but in typical Markan fashion, he gets to the point because it was James and John that put her up to it. They're the ones who wanted to place themselves first over and above the other disciples. They wanted the places of honor. James and John, they're just as delusional about Jesus, you know, who he is and why he's come, as Peter was. They want to be at his right and his left when he comes into his glory. Weren't they listening? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You want glory in the kingdom of God? Prepare to be uncomfortable. Jesus is going to come into his glory on the cross. Jesus tells them plainly, you do not know what you're asking, wanting to be at my right and my left. Are you able to drink the cup of suffering that I drink? When I come into my glory, there will be someone at my right and my left being crucified along with me, but you really don't want to trade places with them, especially the one guy who will not be joining the Lord in paradise. Now, this whole ongoing conversation, this whole journey along the way, they've been talking about authority. The disciples have this idea of the raging, powerful authority, the way the world sees authority and power, and they want a piece of it. They argue among themselves, who is the greatest? James and John request the places of honor. Jesus explains to them, true authority is to give oneself up as a sacrifice for others. True authority is where you selflessly set aside what is rightfully yours and defend and protect those who are under your authority, where power is made perfect in weakness, where God's wisdom is revealed through the foolishness of the cross, where Jesus saves the world from death by dying. Only he has the authority to exercise true authority in its perfect fullness. The Pharisees, all through his ministry, he healed the sick and cast out demons. They keep asking, by what authority do you do these things? When Jesus cleared the money changers out of the temple, as we read a couple weeks ago, which is once again, you know, it's all, these lessons are all kind of jumbled up because clearing the temple was something that took place the Monday after Palm Sunday. But, you know, this time of year, we just kind of pick and choose here and there what, you know, the accounts of Christ because we don't have church on Monday after Palm Sunday. So we get these things out of order. but they all do fit together very nicely as a theme. The theme all along this journey is about authority. They ask him, by what authority do you do these things? What sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus tells them, the only sign I will give you is the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days in the belly of the great fish. I will be 3 days in the belly of the earth. It's the same thing Jesus has been telling his disciples all along the way. Jesus being the crucified and risen Lord. It's the only thing that matters. And so he tells them, once again, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him, and they will deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, and spit on him, and flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.